This is Sheila Winstead speaking on behalf of Rose Oconee Historical Society. Back before the smartphone, before the cell phone, before the push-button phones we use now to call each other, there were a small group of operators on duty 24 hours a day to make sure our calls were connected. In Roseau, the telephone office was contained in a small white house with green shutters along the Roseau River, just south of what was called the Children's Home, later Rem Roseau, in the area where the city center's north parking lot now exists. One of those special women was Shirley Willeen Lanius, someone I had the pleasure of visiting recently. She grew up in the Roseau community and now lives in Duluth. She learned her switchboard skills working in Minneapolis, then Thief River Falls, then at the Marvin Switchboard in Warroad, and then in Roseau. She described the working area of the little house, which was owned by Northwestern Bell. The telephone company with its switchboard was contained in that house, and there was an apartment on the other side to be used by the chief operator, Othelia Gockrud. There were places for four operators if needed, with only three chairs to sit at the switchboard, but usually only one or two operators were working at a time. Shirley laughed, saying she believed Othelia handpicked her for her long arms. There was a lot of stretching and reaching to connect the calls. The 24-hour coverage requirement meant that someone had to work overnight, and it was usually the employee with the least seniority. Dorothy Ricken Wattman came to work at 7 a.m. to relieve the night shift operator, operating the switchboard until 8 a.m., when she put on her other hat and became the office clerk, when the office was open to the public. Other operators working when Shirley was there were Leona Kellerman, Doris Lehman, Dolores Kerr Olson, and Millie Clausen Eaton, Tootsie Wysocki Heights, and Janet Erickson Strandley, with part-timers Luella, Mrs. Jack Jensen, and Eva Carlson Olson. Othelia sat at a desk right behind the operators. Shirley says Othelia ran a tight ship and kept close track of their lives. If an operator became pregnant, she had to quit working at a specified point. At that time, she would forfeit her seniority. Seniority was very important because it affected which shifts you would get and the amount of vacation time you accrued. If she chose to come back to work after that life event, she'd start all over, gaining back her seniority over the next 5 years. It was more common for the operators to be unmarried. The operators had a dress code during office hours. Shirley remembered that they could run out and take a coffee break or grab lunch. They would run with their high heels clickety-clicking through the alley to Encore Cafe or Nelson's, going in through the alley doors to save some steps with permission of the owners. Their odd hours could mean sleeping on a rollaway bed that would be made up under the switchboard. The switchboard was usually pretty quiet at night, but had to be manned at all hours in case an emergency call came in for one of the doctors or funeral directors. If one of them planned to be away from their homes, they'd leave a number for the operators to transfer their calls. Some of the busiest nights were when Roseau was playing in the state hockey tournaments. If a call came in that required the city's emergency whistle to be used, the operators had a switch in their office to turn that whistle on. Other neighboring towns had their own switchboards. Warroad had a Northwestern Bell office. Greenbush had its own office too, but with another company. Malung also had its own office, which was manned by Palmer and Alice Magnuson. Beatrice Davy ran the Winoska Central. And Badger's famous operator was Mabel Gregerson. She was known to try to ring the caller's requested number, but with an office right on Main Street, if she had seen the person and knew they couldn't be reached at home, she'd offer to call the place she had last seen them. The local operators put through some long-distance calls to places like Crookston, but for more distant calls to Minneapolis or overseas, they would transfer them to the toll center in Thief River Falls. For those of you under 60 who might not remember this old system, it worked like this. You picked up the phone at home and an operator would come on the line and say, "Number, please." You would tell her the phone number of the party you wished to call, and the operator would make the connection for you. They also kept an accurate clock, and you could call in to verify your own clock's accuracy by asking, "Correct time, please." As kids, we thought it was funny to ask that question by saying, "Crack the arm, please." I mentioned that to Shirley, and she chuckled and said they'd sometimes ask for a number also by saying, "Bumblebees." So I guess it went both ways. There was a payphone in the front entry of the house. There was also a phone booth out on the curb. Dolores and Shirley talked their manager, Glenn Fossum, into putting an electrical outlet at the phone booth so they could plug in their cars during the winter. Shirley said there were two other phone booths in Roseau, one on Main Street and one by the service station across from the creamery. The Roseau office closed at midnight on December 6th, 1965, and the majority of the operators were on hand to see Dolores Kerr Olson answer the last call. The huge job of replacing the faces of the phones in the county with rotary dials had been completed by them. As soon as that last call was answered, the system was switched over to the equipment in the new brick building just two blocks south. The operators went there too that first night and listened to the fascinating new sounds as the equipment in place there took over the phone system as local people first began dialing their own numbers. If you come to the museum, there's an exhibit case with a lot of old telephones and related items to see that are sure to trigger some memories. Thanks to Wild 102 for this time to tell our county stories, and thanks to Shirley Lanius for sharing hers.